The sufficient answer.
1 year, during his caliphate, Hisham ibn Abd al-Malik came for Hajj and requested to see someone from the companions. And he was told that their generation had passed. He further requested to see someone from the Tabi'een, meaning the second generation after the companions. So they brought to him Tawus al-Yamani, who upon his arrival removed his shoes and placed them on the edge of the carpet. His greeting to Hisham ibn Abd al-Malik was not like that one would utter to the leader of all Muslims. Rather, it was a simple, As-salamu alayk, meaning, peace be upon you. Also, according to normal custom of showing reverence and honor, he did not call the caliph according to his relation to his son or daughter. Meaning, by saying, for instance, Abu Muhammad or Abu Fatima, he continued by asking, O Hisham, how are you? Upon hearing this, the caliph became irritated. He stated, O Tawus, why would you behave in such a manner? Tawus replied, What have I done? The caliph referred to Tawus's removal of the shoes on the carpet and to his inappropriate and irreverent greeting. Finally, Tawus had not ascribed his name to his sons, but rather insolently addressed him simply as Hisham. Tawus said, As for removing my shoes, that is a practice I maintain 5 times a day before praying to my Lord, and he does not mind. As for my not addressing you as a leader of all believers, it is my understanding that not all the believers are pleased with you as a caliph, and I dislike lying. Finally, I did not ascribe you to your son. Rather, I simply addressed you as Hisham because Allah spoke to his beloved prophets in the Quran as O Dawood, O Yahya, and O Musa. And he referred to his enemies in the manner of ascribing them to their sons, meaning, perish the two hands of Abu Lahab.
The Sermons of the Wise.
Ali ibn Abi Talib, radiyallahu anhu, said, I advise you with 5. None of you should hope except from his Lord, and none of you should fear except his sin. And none should be shy when faced with a question to reply humbly with, I do not know. And none should hesitate to acquaint themselves with the matter that they are ignorant about. One should know that patience to iman is like the head to a body. If the head is cut off, the body perishes as well. Also, whoever desires richness without having wealth and abundance, and without having a large clan, then let him turn from the depravity of sin to the honor of serving Allah. Hassan said, Whoever fears Allah, he will make all things fear him. And whoever fears people, Allah will make him fear everything.
Each person spends from that which he has.
Al-Masih Ibn Maryam, alayhi salam, passed by a gathering of Jews who spoke evil words to him, to which he responded with kindness. It was said to him, Why do you reply to their evil with good? And he answered, Each person spends from that which he has.
Do not hasten to make a ruling.
Imam Sha'bi, rahimahullah, said, I was sitting with Shureh, a famous judge, when a woman came to us crying profusely and complaining about her absent husband. I exclaimed to Shureh that I saw her as one who was wronged and whose rights have been deprived from her. The judge replied to Imam Sha'bi, What brings you to this conclusion? Imam Sha'bi then said that the abundance of her tears indicated that she had been wronged. Shureh, in his wisdom, stated, Do not rule except after the matter has become clear. For indeed, the brothers of Yusuf, alayhi salam, came to their father crying, when in fact they were the ones who were the wrongdoers.
Five matters.
The Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, said, I was given five matters that no other prophet before me was given. The first is that I was given victory with terror, meaning people felt fear and terror equivalent to the distance it would take one to travel in a month. That is how widespread the terror and awe had become. Secondly, the entire earth has been made a mosque for me and its soil is pure. Thirdly, the spoils of war have been made lawful to me. Next, I have been given intercession. And finally, each prophet before me was sent specifically to a certain people, while I was sent to all of mankind. Collected by Al-Bukhari.
Competing to attain virtue.
It is related that there occurred between Hussein ibn Ali ibn Abi Talib, radiyallahu anhuma, and his brother Muhammad ibn al-Hanafiyyah, some differences or disagreements, and they both parted, one angry with the other. Muhammad reached his home, took out a scroll, and wrote, In the name of Allah, the Most Gracious, the Most Merciful, from Muhammad to his brother Hussein. Indeed, you have honor that is unattainable for me and superiority that I can never know. Upon receiving this scroll, wear your robe and shoes. Come to me and be pleased with me. Be aware of allowing me to precede you to that virtue which you are more worthy of, and upon you is peace. When Hussein, radiyallahu anhu, read the letter, he wore his robe and shoes, met his brother, and made peace with him. From this, we can learn that one should initiate attaining virtue and hasten to seek conciliation with the one that he differs with.
The manager at the office.
In a book written by Raghib al-Isfahani, Maymun ibn Mihran said that he was with the Caliph Omar ibn Abdul Aziz, rahimahullah, who asked his guard at the door, Who is at the door? The guard replied that it is a man who claims to be the son of Bilal, the one who called the prayers for the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Caliph permitted him to enter and asked him to relate something of the Prophet. Ibn Bilal said that his father related to him that he had heard the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say, Whoever is given authority in a matter that is related to the people and then creates a barrier, referring to the guard, between him and them, Allah will place a barrier in front of him on the Day of Judgment. Omar quickly asked the guard to leave his post and return to his home. No one ever saw a guard at Omar's door again. He stated that there couldn't be anything more unfavorable to the leadership of a people than the harshness of guards and the inaccessibility of the rulers themselves. The wicked acts of the citizens can only become more widespread in the land, knowing that a ruler is difficult to gain access to. It has been said that a leader prevents people from speaking to him either because of the evil that is in him or from sheer stinginess.
A good deed that is not accepted.
Asma'i related, I was with a man from the inhabitants of Sham, meaning Syria, and was attempting to appease him in a certain manner when a vendor with a bucket full of pomegranates passed by. To my surprise, my companion, who was of the noble aristocrats of Sham, quickly snatched a pomegranate and slipped it into his sleeve. I could not believe what my eyes had witnessed until we happened upon a beggar. This man from Sham retrieved the hidden pomegranate from his sleeve and handed it to the beggar. I questioned him about this strange action. He replied, "Do you not understand that taking the pomegranate was one evil deed, and giving it to the beggar equated to 10 good deeds?" Asmai responded, "Do you not know that the taking of it was an evil action, and the good of giving it was not accepted of you because it was haram, meaning forbidden?"
True bravery.
Thabit al-Bunani related from Ibn Abi Layla that Ibn Maktum, who was blind, said, "O my Lord, reveal to me my excuse," meaning for not participating in jihad. And then this verse was revealed.
Except those who are disabled.
He would participate in battles later on in his life and say, "Give me the banner, for I am blind and will not be able to flee, and make me stand between two rows." Each one of us has a duty to Allah and a role that befits him, and we must remember that he, the exalted alone, is worthy to be served. Hammad ibn Salama said that Thabit informed him that Salah and his son participated in a battle. He said to his son, "O my son, go forth and fight, and when I think of you as gone, I will seek my reward from Allah." His son did so and was martyred. Salah, too, went forth in the battle and was martyred. Upon hearing this, many women gathered around Salah's wife, Mu'adha, who said to them, "Welcome to all of you if you have come to congratulate me. But if you have come with any other intention, then return from whence you came."
A most valiant effort.
Abu Dujana, a well-known Ansari companion, was a brave fighter. In the Battle of Uhud, he fought so courageously that the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, awarded him with his sword. He used to wear a red band around his head before the war, and that was the sign that he has decided to fight until his death. After the death of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, during the caliphate of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu anhu, Abu Dujana went out as a soldier in the huge Muslim army that went forth to confront the army of the apostates who were gathered under Musaylimah, the liar. Abu Dujana displayed the same bravery he possessed as he fought under the leadership of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When the Muslims were not able to penetrate a fortress occupied by the apostates, Abu Dujana requested that his companions help him over the wall of the fortress so that he may open the door from within. His companions expressed their fear, for he would be alone amongst the enemy. Abu Dujana became angry and insisted that they carry out his request. So they did. Despite a broken ankle, Abu Dujana bravely fought his way to the door, let the Muslims in, and continued his battle against the apostates. He was finally overcome and fell as a distinguished and honored martyr in the Battle of Yamama.
How Arthur Allison became a Muslim.
Some newspapers related the account of how Professor Arthur Allison, head of the Electrical and Electronic Engineering Department of the University of London, accepted Islam. He participated in the first Islamic International Conference on the Medical Inimitability in the Quran. It was held in Cairo in September 1985. As one of the speakers of the conference, he presented a paper on spiritual and psychological methods of therapy in light of the Noble Quran. He presented another paper on sleep and death in the light of the noble verse?
It is Allah who takes away the souls at the time of their death, and those that die not during their sleep. He keeps those souls for which He has ordained death, and sends the rest of them for a term appointed.
After presenting his lectures, Professor Allison attended lectures presented by other speakers, which mainly dealt with the many miracles of the Noble Quran. He was impressed with the religion of Islam, which he found to be a religion of knowledge and enlightenment. He began to ask the other attendees many questions about Islam, and he became more and more certain that Islam is the religion of truth and is the final religion revealed to mankind. It didn't take long before he openly announced on television that Islam is the true religion and the religion that is innately accepted by the hearts of men. Professor Allison took a shower, which one takes before entering the fold of Islam, and then pronounced the testimony of faith, speaking in the clear and lucid tones of the believer. None has the right to be worshipped but Allah, and Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. The professor said, if the scholars of the West understood Islam, they would have entered into the fold of Islam as I did. I found that the disparity between Islam and other religions or creeds that I had hitherto studied was great indeed. Islam never contradicts knowledge and the sound mind, so I believe with certainty that it is the religion that is revealed from Allah, the One.
The Othmani Ruler and the Old Woman.
It has been related that an old woman entered the hall of the ruler Sulaiman al-Qanuni, complaining to him about his army that stole her livestock while she was sleeping in her house. The ruler said to her reproachfully, "You should have stayed up and taken care of your livestock." She glared at him and quickly responded, "I thought that you were awake, watching over us, my leader, and so I slept with a peaceful mind." The ruler said, "The truth is with you."